This is Stewardship Week. General theme, stewardship, a matter of discipleship. Let me also extend warm, cordial welcome to all our visitors and our members, the church today. After a hard week at work, no doubt, you are very, very happy for this kind of oasis where we can reflect on God and His goodness towards us. Thanks also, Stewardship team, for your hard work, for planning this week. I trust that we all will benefit from this week. Today I'd like to talk to you under the caption, Stewardship or Disciple. Steward or Disciple. Turn your Bibles with me to our scripture reading, Matthew 4:18-22. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Shall we bow our heads to prayer? Our Father, we ask you to breathe on your word. May your word become flesh in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. After reading this text, I wondered, how is it that somebody could, you are on the beach fishing or mending your net, and a man just walked up and said to you, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How is it? And they immediately they left what they were doing and they followed him. Is it the first time they were seeing this man? Is it that they had prior knowledge about this man? Couldn't it be a kidnap? What is it? But I believe that they had prior knowledge as to who Jesus was. And so they followed him without asking any question. What if we should do that today? When Jesus says, this is the way, walk in it. But we're not like that. We want to question, why Lord? Why now? Why not sometime later? But they followed without questioning. When Jesus gave this great commission to his disciples, he used an imperative. That imperative was not a command to make more converts, but to make disciples. This is the focus of our mission as a church, to make disciples. Someone mentioned that every time we hear the word stewardship, money comes to mind. But stewardship is life. Everything about us is stewardship. We are accountable to God. Someone who has always been in control and supplying our needs and whatever we have and sustaining us. And so we are accountable to God. John chapter 17 verse 4. Jesus' last recorded prayer. He made a startling comment to his father. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Strangely, Jesus does not mention the miracles he performed or the multitudes he preached to. But 40 times Jesus mentions the 12 disciples who were his work. They were vital to his mission. And I think we are also, in our time, we are vital to the mission of Christ. He wants to save us, to save every member of the Andrew's Church. And those who are visiting with us, he wants to save you. He gave his life for billions of people, including you and me. But during his ministry on earth, he devoted his time, a lot of time, to the 12 disciples, to discipleship. It doesn't happen by accident, discipleship. One has to be intentional about it. Today, he wants you and me to be his disciples. Let's look at plan B. This story has been told about Jesus. After he ascended to heaven, one of the angels asked him, "What plan do you have to continue the work you began on earth?" Without hesitation, Jesus answered, "I trained and left precise instruction to 12 men." A bit doubtful about Jesus' strategy, another angel asked, "Yes, but if they fail, what is plan B?" He said, "There's no plan B," Jesus replied. "It is only a story, but it is true. It is ironic that Jesus would ask those whom, after more than 3 years, after training, managed to abandon him at the most crucial moment. After God has been good to many of us, through difficulties, hardship, sickness, he has healed you. He has provided for you. And in times of prosperity, many of us, we forget God." Amazing that these men, who had not yet understood his ministry with them, would be responsible for such daunting task. The 12 had discovered what discipleship was all about. They had walked daily with their master, learning through parables. And sometimes Jesus went the second mile to help them to understand what he was talking about, that they were to live in submission to their master, so that they would become like him. Likewise, we are to live in submission to him, so that we will become like him. And if we are going to make it to his kingdom, we must be submissive to him. We must give our lives to him, so that he can use us and make us to be the kind of disciples he wants us to be. Not one, but both. For years, the stewardship department has used the terms steward and disciples interchangeably. When we accept Christ as Lord of our lives, this experience is reflective of all definitions we may have of a disciple or a steward. The lordship principle is at the crux of the life of a disciple and steward. It is not by accident that the Lord is used 747 times in the New Testament and 92 times in the books, in the book of Acts alone. If Jesus is Lord, of my life and your life, should we worry? Should we worry about our shortcomings, the difficulties in our lives? His binding will encompasses all of us, and he cares for all of us, and we must be grateful to him and be faithful to him. Yes, what great love God has for us, to the extent that he gave us everything. He is Lord of everything, and he gave us all the necessities of life. Are you grateful? The question is making disciples easy? You know the challenge that Jesus had when he was here, trying to make disciples of these men. You can recall Peter, isn't that so? That was his challenge. That man was his challenge. Do you have some challenge at work, at home, at church? If we take also Acts 6:7 literally, it looks like a simple operation. And the word of God increased, the Bible says, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, becoming a disciple of Christ is a long process. Amen? And I'm happy for this, because God is still working on me. Amen? God is still working on you. You are not yet a finished product. Yes, we have our struggles, young people, older ones. Yes, we have our challenges. Yes, sometimes we wonder if we would ever become the kind of disciples that Jesus wants us to become. Have you ever wondered about that? The kind of person that you want to be. When you look at yourself and you compare it with Christ, you are far away from that. But you have a desire to reach that summit, to reach that goal, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. We can reach our full potential. The molding, think about that, and shaping and hammering and pairing of rough edges here and there. Peter, have mercy. Huh? Are there some Peters here today? Yeah. Sometimes up, sometimes down. But one thing about Peter, he's always humble and teachable. Amen, brethren. And always with Jesus. And so I'm saying, amidst our challenges and difficulties, don't leave Jesus. Stay close to him. And although the concept of making disciple was somewhat new, what Jesus had in mind was a new ministry that was to change the world. And look what tremendous work those men did after Jesus left. Oh, what a work, making disciples of other men. Jesus wants to accomplish that purpose in us today. Yes, we are now disciples of his, but we also must go and make other disciples and call others to come and see a man like the woman at the well. Jesus chose the 12 to be with him. They would learn by associating with him. In Matthew 4, Another privilege instruction time they had was when they were alone with him. And I ask, what kind of time do we spend with Jesus? Is it always a rushy time? Do we find the time to be alone with God, where we can come apart and meditate and reflect on God's goodness towards us? You know, sometimes we worry about the worrying trend of how we contribute to God's church financially. And in the Adventist church, we're always, most of us, faithful with our tithes, but not so faithful with our offerings. But the Bible speaks about tithes and offerings. Also, the point I want to make is that it's not so much that people don't have it to give, but when we are not doing what we are to do, it's a spiritual matter. I want the church to understand this. It's a spiritual matter. We don't understand God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love that he has lavished on us. We cannot pay him for the sunshine. We cannot pay him for the rain. He put us to sleep last night and he woke us up this morning. Can you pay for that? So, what about giving a little offering? What is that in comparison to what he has been doing for us? So, when we understand that concept, it wouldn't be difficult to give to God what is his. So, that quiet moment, when we need to talk to God about our own lives, and what is happening in our lives. He told them the secret of the kingdom of God during those quiet moments. During these times, they learned that discipleship was not a matter of what they did, but an outgrowth of what they were rooted in their relationship with Jesus. What kind of relationship do we have with Jesus? That is crucial. Crucial to where are we heading? Is it just come to church? Is it about just Sabbath school? Is it just about your department? So what kind of relationship do we have with God? How do we treat God? How do we treat God's church? What kind of respect do we have for God's house? Talking about a relationship with Jesus. And what kind of relationship do we have with each other? You know, many times, Jesus could have cut off Peter forever. I recall one time when Jesus offered to wash his feet. Said, listen man, don't come near me. You don't come near me. Talking about washing my feet. No! You will not wash my feet. You know, but then Jesus is always patient. Amen, brethren. Jesus is always patient with us and our shortcomings. You know, and then, you know, when he decided to do that, he said, Jesus, listen. I don't only want you to wash my feet, but I want you to wash everywhere. Transform everywhere. Change everywhere. Because I need to have that relationship with you. Are we forgiving? Sometimes people say, listen, Pastor, you really don't understand the hurt. You don't understand how the brother or the sister hurt me. You don't understand. Of course I don't understand. I don't understand because I maybe didn't have that experience. But there's one. Jesus understands because he has been through that and more. Amen. He's patient with us in our developmental stage. And sometimes as Christians too, or every time we need to be patient with each other. Every time. Because our developmental stage is different. Maybe I reach this stage now, but it was a lot of struggle to get there. Brother, you have struggles. You have difficulties. You have challenges in your spiritual development. I'm talking to a people, am I right? Are you just suddenly just grow big like Adam? Adam didn't go through the stages. He told them the secret of the kingdom. They were to take his cross. A cross that doesn't come cheaply. Amen? And follow him. When he was about to leave them, Jesus made another startling comment to his disciples. It is your advantage that I go away. They must have felt bewildered when Jesus spoke these words. They were following him, awaiting his decisions about the kingdom, trying to understand what he was saying, trying to perform miracles like him, but they had not yet mastered the skill. They were fed daily by his ministry. And suddenly, it was to be for their own good that he should go. This was the acid test of their discipleship. They were to stand on their own feet and live the lesson Jesus taught them. Theories are valid during instructions, but if you do not transfer them to daily life, they are useless. Jesus knew his disciples were helpless by themselves. And so, what he has promised to them, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit power upon them. When they received that Spirit's power, what a tremendous work they did for him. Biblical discipling is the art of shaping the life of an individual into a growing partnership with God. Do you have partnership with God? It begins with the assurance of salvation through the acceptance of the gospel, and then continues by integrating Christ's lordship into every area of life. How do you describe a disciple? One, a disciple is passionately in love with Jesus. Passionately in love. Some of you can recall when you just fell in love or grew in love, how passionate you were. You remember that? And you would go the extra mile for your spouses. Do you have that same kind of passion for Jesus? To go the extra mile to tell somebody about him. A disciple maintains intimacy with God through a daily devotional life. They find time for prayer, time for studying of God's word. Brethren, do not allow anything to rob you of the opportunity of prayer daily and the study of God's word. I know we can be busy, isn't that so? Busy, busy, busy. But we can't be too busy for God, where we cannot find any time Young people, make time for God. Older ones, make time for God. Because at the end of it all, what really counts is the relationship that you formed with Jesus. When you're sick, when you're on your deathbed, it's the relationship that will count. A disciple integrates God into every area of life. In other words, your work should not be separated from the relationship that you have with God. Amen, brethren? So at work, whatever your work entails, people must know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ by your lifestyle, by your conduct, by the way you relate to them. They must know that you have been with Jesus. A disciple makes God a priority in every decision. So, while the secular man will just run ahead and make a decision, God's disciple have to consult him. Yeah, even with some serious decisions you may have to make at your workplaces, in your family. Don't do anything without consulting God. A disciple actively shares Christ with those in his or her sphere of influence. God places a number of us at strategic places for a purpose. Are you hearing me? Not just to glorify ourselves and pride in what we have, but we are there to communicate the gospel to those who do not know Jesus. You have a responsibility as a steward to share Jesus with those with whom you come in contact. Now, there are some saying here by a few people I would like to share with you. One here says, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Billy Graham says that. Discipleship is anything that causes what is believed in the heart to have demonstrable consequence in our daily life. Eugene Patterson said that one. We are on the right track when we define the demands of discipleship, and not in terms of what we think or feel, but in terms of what the cross meant to Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. And every one of us will have to give an account of our stewardship, what we have been doing with what God has blessed us with. The resources, how are we using the resources that God has blessed us with? We will have to give an account for our time. What do you use your time for? Our talent, our resources, everything that God has blessed us with, we will have to give an account to God for it. So may I ask, do we love Jesus with that great passion to share him with others? Do we find time to spend in his word and in prayer? Do we make God an intimate, our intimate in everything that we do? Salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Jesus, our great steward, our great stewardship director, gave everything in order to secure your salvation and my salvation. Today, let me see the hands of those who are grateful to God for his support to our lives. All of us. Could you stand, please? Without him, we dare not live. And without him, we dare not die. Then if God is so good to us, what is it most of all that he wants from us? Your money? Yes, but no. He wants your life and my life to be intimately connected to his life. Is there somebody standing here this morning whose life, you're honest with yourself, is not intimately connected with Jesus, young or old? Can I invite you for special prayer?